then there's CM Punk. The worst of them all. A man who will look you in the eye and bold-faced lie by saying he's the best in the world when he certainly is not. He's not original or unique. He's nothing more than a Chris Jericho wannabe. And he knows deep down inside that I, and I alone, am the best in the world at everything I do.
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
It's Thursday evening.
Yes, it is.
It's a bit of a different Thursday show this week, James.
Yeah, I'd call it a little bit of a mix between what we do on Monday and what we kind of do on Thursdays.
Well, what happened this week is, of course, I have been working nonstop. And today I worked 18 hours before we sat down in the studio.
So I guess I can't complain about being tired, can I?
No, you can't.
I'm definitely not allowed.
You know what? I'm not even tired, believe it or not.
Oh,
this is just it's a normal, everyday thing for me. So, but I just didn't have the time to produce a normal Thursday edition of Smack Talk Radio Live.
And nope.
It seems to be becoming more of a regular occurrence. So I asked you today, we should come up with a new name for a Thursday show where if we can't do a full, polished edition of Smack Talk Radio Live, let's come up with something where we can at least get something out to the public.
Exactly, just to pump something out, right?
And so we've come up with a name, and it's called Smack Talk's Quick Take. What do you think?
I don't mind.
Smack Talk's Quick Take?
Smack Talk's Quick Take.
We're going with it. Because that's what this is. This is going to be a show about our thoughts on the week it was in professional wrestling, and we're just going to skip all the other pre-produced segments that we usually come up with. There's no interviews this week. There's no top five. There's
no top five. No post-to-post report.
No.
A little bit of a local wrestling scene.
So if you want to catch up on the latest, you're going to have to go elsewhere. How's that for promoting the competition?
Wow. Now this man is a marketing machine.
All right, so www.smacktalkradiolive.com if you want to listen in. If you want to join in on the conversation, you can also sign up facebook.com/smacktalkradio and get all the latest updates as to when we release our latest shows.
Right.
Now, James, Monday Night Raw this week.
It wasn't a bad Raw, actually. What did you think?
I have my ups and downs about it. I mean, we're leading into the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, which, I gotta be honest, I just want to get out of the way. Get it out of here.
Well, you know what? I think we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. I think the Elimination Chamber is really kind of in the wrong spot in the year, personally. We'll get a little bit into it here, but
the one thing I did like about Monday Night Raw this week is the fact that we have secured up a couple of WrestleMania matches, or at least we're heading in the direction of confirming WrestleMania matches.
Yeah, the card's starting to take shape, which is
yeah,
nice.
It is. It's nice. I'm starting to see just what exactly you and I are going to be seeing live in Miami.
I honestly think, Corey, that this has the potential to be one of the best WrestleManias of all time.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
How can you say that before we've even got the lineup?
Oh, well, I mean, you've got number one, you've got The Rock and John Cena, and that's just going to be an absolutely off-the-hook match. Mm. And then you've got what's going to be Undertaker and Triple H 3. I mean, I know they haven't officially announced it, but come on, you know that's the way they're going with it.
Yeah, well, I think it's been a little more clear this week that, yes, we will see Triple H and Undertaker.
And, you know, I'm actually starting to warm a little bit more to the possibility of having a Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan match. I think that could actually be really good.
I don't think they're going to go that route. Yep. I think the Elimination Chamber, I think, like I told you last week on Smack Talk, that I really believe that they're going to wait to announce who Sheamus is going to go for at WrestleMania. And I think that Daniel Bryan is going to lose that title at the Elimination Chamber, and Sheamus will take on the new champion,
really?
Whoever that may be.
See, I just, it's so strange, because I honestly really, I can't see anybody in that SmackDown Elimination Chamber match taking it off of Daniel Bryan.
Well, we'll get there. Let's talk about that in a little bit. Let's start off with what Monday Night Raw started with this week, and that was, I thought we were supposed to find out just what happened to John Laurinaitis. Was Triple H firing him, or wasn't he firing him?
Yeah, no kidding. That was kind of the big cliffhanger they left us on heading into this week's Raw.
Yeah, because, you know, I thought Triple H was going to come out and make his big announcement that he was firing him or that he was keeping him. And instead, we just got some lackluster response from Triple H as to, oh, the board of directors has asked for a stay of execution, or John Laurinaitis had asked the board of directors for a stay of execution.
And then we got a lot of video packages.
Yeah, but just the whole way they dissolved the idea that John Laurinaitis was possibly getting fired was just weak, in my opinion. I mean, I understand that Triple H was out there to talk about the Undertaker angle, but you really left a big cliffhanger at the end of the previous Monday Night Raw, you know, leaving the thought in people's minds, like, is he going to get fired or not? And then Triple H comes out the next week and he just talks, and he just basically touches on it for 30 seconds, saying that no decision has been made yet. You got to wait a bit longer.
Yeah, it was a little lackluster, I guess.
I thought so. But how about Triple H and The Undertaker's interaction this week on Monday? What did you think?
Well, what do you say to that? I mean, what is The Undertaker sitting all year in a enclosed room with all these pictures of Triple H on the wall, just waiting until he can?
And that's my issue with this. I feel like Undertaker's response could have waited till next Monday, because the fact that Triple H has said it's over, you know, him and Undertaker is over, and then before Triple H can even get out of the ring, The Undertaker has a professionally produced response saying it's not over.
I know. It was
that's
like
what I didn't like about
that.
They
were sending video packages back and forth. I don't know.
I know.
It was kind of... Are you honestly excited for a third go-around with Triple H and Undertaker?
I am, because I really believe that if Triple H is going to lose, this will be the year.
You mean Undertaker?
Sorry, what did I say? Triple H?
You said Triple H, yeah. No, but...
Hey, I worked 18 hours today.
Yeah.
That's what I believe. I believe that if the Undertaker is to lose at all, it will be this year, and it will be to Triple H, because like I've said before, there's only one other guy that I could see doing it, and that's John Cena, and I can't see The Undertaker actually agreeing to lose to John Cena. That's just my opinion.
No, it's... Yeah, he'd probably rather go out to a fellow veteran. Like
exactly,
Triple H,
someone
right?
who's been on the road with him for 25 years or whatever. So do I think that Triple H could beat The Undertaker? Yes, I do. And that is why I'm interested in this match. I seem to be in the minority with that opinion, because I don't think anyone thinks The Undertaker is losing this year.
No.
Other than me. I personally believe...
I think you are the only one.
I know. And I personally believe that The Undertaker is losing this year. And I will stand by that.
But, you know,
all the way
what,
up until we are in Miami.
You know, I'm probably not as excited for you as you for the match, but there is that question there of whether he's going to go 19-1 or he's going to go 20-0, and that's, I guess, the big selling point for the match this year.
Yeah. Now, how about in terms of what they did on Monday Night Raw to get this storyline going? Did you like the fact that they were throwing to video packages?
No, I think, you know what, how do you get this really going? I mean...
I know. I would have liked to seen Triple H actually come out and... make reference to what he had said the night after WrestleMania last year, where, you know, we played the clip on last Thursday's show where, you know, he comes out and he says, Undertaker, when you're back, I'll be waiting. I would have liked to have him make reference to that, but he never even did. I mean, that's just, that clip got forgotten, I guess. And now instead they're cleverly putting together highlight packages to make us realize the importance of this match. And to me, that's kind of a cheap way to start a storyline, but I guess this storyline has already been started years prior.
I think the real problem with the build going into this angle is you've had The Undertaker. He's been off TV for almost an entire year. And then you've got Triple H, who's been on TV only sporadically. So you don't really have a lot of time with these guys to build up an interesting angle. And, well, it's not that to say it's not interesting, but you know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to get at here, right?
They gotta kick it off some way.
Yeah, it's just like these... It feels like it came out of left field, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, you know?
I was actually going to say that about the Chris Jericho and CM Punk possible match. I feel like that has come out of left field.
Really?
Yeah, just the way that Chris Jericho ran down to the ring and gave the code breaker to CM Punk just randomly out of nowhere. To me, that is just kicking the story off literally out of left field. That's where I think. With Triple H and Undertaker, it's been going on for a couple years. I mean, they just wrestled last year at WrestleMania. Undertaker hasn't seen anyone since that match.
But that's the point that I'm trying to get at, right? Is you've had these guys that have been hardly ever on TV in the past year, and then all of a sudden they're back and they're in the spotlight and they're trying to push this angle forward. Like, to me, that's what feels like it's coming out of left field, and that kind of... gives it a little bit of disconnect for me. Just for me personally, I don't know, maybe you feel different. But
do you find it funny that the Triple H and Undertaker will most likely be the second best match at WrestleMania, and Undertaker hasn't even been around at all this year.
Well, that's what's the Undertaker for you? Comes back, wrestles match of the year, and then leaves.
Must
for
be nice to have instant credibility the first week you show up. I mean, really, that's what this is all. This is. But okay, so another segment that we had on Monday Night Raw was, you know, Big Show, Daniel Bryan, which leads me to my next point. Daniel Bryan, just how are you liking him these days? How do you think he's going to do at the Elimination Chamber?
You know what? I really like Daniel Bryan's character right now because it leaves you the question, is he a heel or is he not? You know, because he doesn't do the atypical things that a heel does. Like, he's not, you know, he's not mean. He's not vicious. He doesn't cheat. He just, I don't know, he just he's proclaiming this whole veganism thing and that he's a role model, right? It's not really what a heel does, and it's...
Do you like the vegan? Do you like the references?
I like the fact that he's you know, using that to generate heat for himself.
I got to give Daniel Bryan credit because I feel that he really has taken the reins and ran with this whole character of his. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could have went up or he could have went down, and he's definitely gone up. His stock has risen
big time
with
big
this
time.
Push that he's been given.
He's a way better heel than he is a face.
And the one thing I really like about Daniel Bryan is that obviously he's a heel, and he's just doing classic heel type.
But he's no. That's the thing. He's not doing classic heel type things.
What? Well, I think so. I mean, the fact that he just throws out a reference about being a vegan just to rub it in everyone's face that he's a vegan, or the fact that he over exaggerates his win, his cheering after he wins.
But that's not a heelish tactic. Like, a heel tactic would be coming out and, you know, making fun of the fans or saying something about the city that he's in to kind of get that cheap heat, right? Well, he doesn't do any of that kind of stuff.
He's just getting these...
he doesn't cheat in his matches.
No, I guess you're right. He's getting these subtle digs in at the crowd, you know? Like, I don't know. To me, it's kind of classic.
To me, it almost seems like he's just the really confident babyface almost. Like, he's...
Well, no one's cheering him anymore.
Well, no, he's not. He's definitely getting the heat, which is, you know...
Yeah.
Which is good for him, but... It's a really kind of it's John Laurinaitis Enigma-ish almost.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the SmackDown Elimination Chamber match will feature Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Wade Barrett, The Big Show, Cody Rhodes, and your favorite wrestler of all time, the Great Khali.
Oh.
So, I mean, obviously Great Khali will take this match at the Elimination Chamber, and he will walk out the World Heavyweight Champion. But if for some reason he gets injured in the first 2 minutes and he can't compete any further... Who is your pick to win the Elimination Chamber match?
Probably I'd have to go with Daniel Bryan, man.
See, I do not think he walks out champion of this.
I really can't see him dropping the belt.
So you think Daniel Bryan walks into WrestleMania as the World Heavyweight Champion?
Yes.
I stand by my original theory that he is just a transitional champion.
The only other person I could see taking the strap off him, if you're going to ask me if there's another person in this match that walk out with the title, I think it'd have to be Randy Orton. That's the only other guy.
And then that would possibly set up Sheamus versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania.
But we've already seen that already.
Yes, we did.
Right?
At WrestleMania.
Not at WrestleMania.
When did we see it?
They had a huge feud when he was the title holder.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was during his Sheamus' second title reign. I could be wrong here, but what my memory's telling me.
What about Wade Barrett or Cody Rhodes?
Wade Barrett and Cody Rhodes?
No, one of those two taking the belt at the Elimination Chamber.
No, I can't see it. Cody Rhodes has got the IC belt already. I don't see them putting two straps on Cody Rhodes. That's just that's just way too much of a push. And Wade Barrett, I don't feel that he's there yet.
I just feel that Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan is not an exciting championship match to me at WrestleMania. I just don't. I don't feel like
I'm kind of starting to warm towards the other side now. I am kind of thinking that would be a good match.
I'd be interested to know what the public thinks about that, because I don't know, nothing really gets me excited about that. That's just a force-fed match down our throats.
I think it's just because Sheamus doesn't excite you very much.
I just feel with Sheamus, he's been, since he's won the Royal Rumble, you barely even know that he's won the Royal Rumble.
He's been booked terribly since he won the Royal Rumble. I mean, let's face it, the Raw after the Royal Rumble, he came out and interrupted a segment, and that's all we saw of him on Raw.
He didn't even get his own segment.
Yeah, he didn't even get his own segment.
He didn't even get a chance to talk about why or how he won the Royal Rumble or what he planned to do by winning the Royal Rumble. He was given no time other than a quick minute interaction interrupting someone else's promo.
And then this week on Raw, he comes out to face David Otunga in a quick non-sanctioned match. And, beating David Otunga doesn't make you look big.
No, I know. It's a weird.
They're booking him so weird.
Yeah, I've never seen a Royal Rumble winner be shoved down the show it's so just, much as...
It's almost like he's an afterthought.
Yeah, that's what
just,
I mean.
Even though he's just won the Royal Rumble. Like, I mean, back in the day, back in the 90s, when you were on the Royal Rumble, you were on the fast track to
And so why would I... Top, and so why, at this point, why would I be excited for Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus?
Well, I don't know why you would be excited. I'm just excited because I think it would be a great wrestled match. Hmm. I think those two could put on a great story together.
I think you need a little more than that, though. You need something.
There's got to be some kind of build, of course, going into it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what they do there, but there's got to be some kind of build going into it. There's got to be some, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay, now we're talking about the SmackDown Elimination Chamber match. Mm-hmm. One question I wanted to pose to you about the SmackDown or about the Elimination Chamber match in general: do you find it a little odd that we have six guys on each show going into an Elimination Chamber match and five of those guys lost the Royal Rumble?
I know.
So why are these five guys getting another shot? In fact, you have better odds of winning the Chamber match than you do the Royal Rumble. Why are five guys getting an even greater shot at winning the title?
Yeah.
And possibly going to WrestleMania.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I honestly think that the Elimination Chamber, the actual pay-per-view itself, I think it's in the wrong place in the whole schedule of their pay-per-views in the year. I think the Elimination Chamber should be somewhere in the summertime, maybe June or July, and it should be used as a means to end off feuds, mm-hmm. you know, to close off storylines involving multiple guys. Right?
I guess in the WWE's mind, there's so many possible scenarios of what you can create coming out of an Elimination Chamber match. You know, like, for example, part of my thinking here is that CM Punk may lose the title at the Elimination Chamber match because Chris Jericho will screw him.
Well, here's... Yeah, that's a...
You know, Chris Jericho could screw CM Punk, title. The title could go to someone else altogether. Mm-hmm. So, you know, someone could beat CM Punk and Chris Jericho is directly involved with that, but isn't reaping the benefit of having the title. Like, there's little twists and turns that can come out of the Elimination mm-hmm. Chamber match, and that's why I think they put it, the pay-per-view, before WrestleMania, because, you know, anything goes.
You know, yeah, but they could have done that with just having the pay-per-view called No Way Out and getting rid of the Elimination Chamber gimmick altogether and just focused on matches heading into WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. That, to me, would probably work better than having, you know, a big gimmick match like the Elimination Chamber.
Okay, so let's talk about the Raw Elimination Chamber match.
Okay.
Who do you think is going to come out of that one? Because currently in that, it's CM Punk, The Miz, R-Truth, Dolph Ziggler, Kofi Kingston, and Chris Jericho.
Well, really, I can only see two guys. It's going to be either CM Punk or Chris Jericho walking out of that match with the title.
And I disagree with you again. This is going to be a very interesting pay-per-view for you and I because we're differing on a lot of things. I think Dolph Ziggler takes this as a result of Jericho screwing CM Punk. Now, the only thing in the back of my mind that makes me think I'm wrong is based off what I saw with Chris Jericho and CM Punk this Monday night on Raw, those two were talking about being the best in the world.
Exactly. And see, to me, that's why I don't think that Dolph Ziggler is going to win the belt at the Elimination Chamber, because if you have a feud that's based around the whole best in the world title, well, to me, you've got to have the championship involved with that.
Mm-hmm. No, because, and I agree with you on that.
Right?
And that's the only reason why I don't think it'll be, you know, it's either going to be Jericho or Punk that wins it. But inside, I think if the WWE is going to go with a twist or turn like they did at the Royal Rumble,
right,
they would be smart to put it on Ziggler. Because, you know, Jericho could screw Punk. That just fuels their story heading into WrestleMania. And then you got the belt on Ziggler. And he's got a belt and the personality to back it up. Who is he taking on? You know, he's welcoming all challengers heading into WrestleMania. That could set up for a Sheamus match.
Yeah, I could see Sheamus and Dolph Ziggler being a really good match, too.
I don't think that's a bad combination.
But I really don't see them taking the belt out of the whole Jericho Punk program, because you have to have that with the to add to the best in the world title.
I want to disagree with you there, but I don't see. I tend to think that you're probably right. I mean, if you are going to have a storyline with CM Punk and Jericho, and it's going to be all about, you know,
who's the best in the world,
you got to have the title there.
You got to.
What did you think about those two on Monday and just how they kick things off?
I really like how they both kind of one-upped each other by imitating each other. Like, for example, when Chris Jericho came out and he cut his promo about how everybody was basically copying him and how everybody was a wannabe. And then Punk came out to interrupt him, but instead of saying anything, he walked right up to him and dropped his microphone and left the ring. So that was kind of like, you know, imitating Chris Jericho there. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end of Raw, you saw Chris Jericho sitting cross-legged in the middle of the ring with the title belt on his shoulder. So he's imitating CM Punk there. So I like it. It's this, I think this program's going to be like a one-upmanship type of program, right?
I really wanted to see CM Punk just, like, after Jericho had blasted Punk, you know, on the mic, I really wanted to see CM Punk come out and just give it right back to him. And I wanted to see these guys exchange a war of words with each other. I really wanted to see that. And so
I think we'll see that. But you know what? You got to remember, we've got, like, 6 weeks to build this whole thing up, right?
Did you think you would be more excited at the initial scene of these two together? Like, I feel like I just wasn't that excited when these two were in the ring together this week.
Really?
No, I feel like I wanted the whole thing to start differently, and I thought it would be... I just, in my head, when I imagine these two facing
off,
I really...
You wanted them to start the mic battle right away, essentially.
Yeah, get me excited right from the get-go.
I'm happy with the way that they've started it off, with the way they've kind of imitated each other. That's to me, that's a good kickoff. And remember, you've got another 6 weeks for them to have their mic.
I know, and that's what they're doing. They're purposely saving.
Another thing I really liked was in the six-pack challenge in the main event is they didn't touch.
Yeah. Oh, that is a very
good idea. Really liked that because when they were in the ring together and it was just them, I'm like, oh, man, they're going to start wrestling right now. They just gave it away right there. But no, they didn't. They didn't touch, and that's good. I really hope that they can kind of...
Do you think we'll see them touch at the Elimination Chamber?
Of course. We'll see them.
I think it'd be cool if they didn't touch. I mean, you have one of them in the pod, you know.
You know what? That would be kind of cool if they somehow worked it where...
It's not going to happen, though, because they need to have some sort of interaction.
Yeah.
You have to. You can't just keep these... guys to get are apart for the next 6 weeks.
It would be kind of cool if they could somehow work that, but you're right, I really don't see that happening. But
no, it will happen. There'll be some sort of interaction at the chamber, but yeah, I agree, it would have been cool to not have them touch at all until then. But oh well. So you're liking the fact that Punk said nothing?
Oh, I love it. I like the way that they started this.
How about when, you know, Jericho threw Punk over the announcer's table and then sat in the ring and crossed his legs. You really like that as well?
Oh, I did. I like that. It's like I said, it's a one-upmanship, and those are the best. To me, those are the best kind of feuds, I think. And, no, I'm really excited with the way they're going forward with this so far. So I think next week we're going to see the mic battle that you're kind of
hoping
for.
Yeah. Maybe I'll be a little more excited because I feel like it just did not kick off with that sudden impact that I thought these two would kick it off with. Yeah. And I think maybe it comes down to the fact that this just came out of nowhere. And, you know, this whole thing has started with just Jericho running down to the ring, giving the code breaker, and there we are. I didn't like how they started it.
No.
I would have really liked to have, like, CM Punk in the ring talking to John Laurinaitis, and then Jericho's music hits, and he walks out, and he starts, you know, talking about Punk and how he's not the best in the world. Like, I would have just liked, instead of just that, I would have just liked to have him come down and talk on the mic and explain why he wants to face CM Punk at WrestleMania. I thought that the...
Because it's the end of the world, and he's come back to reclaim what's his, which is the best in the world title.
I just think
the
that
WWE title.
I just think that a random code breaker, just like, it's so... It's been done before. Like, guy runs down, gives his finishing move, walks out. There we go.
It's the classic way that you start a feud off, right? Because that gets that whole cycle of vengeance going, right? Yeah. Oh, you hit me with your finisher. Now I got to one-up you. Oh, now you one-up me. I got to one-up you. It's you know, classic professional wrestling booking, right?
Now, a question I have is, we talked about this last week. We still don't have a clear idea as to who Dolph Ziggler might be facing at WrestleMania and just what direction is this guy heading.
Well, I'm hearing more and more that they're going to have a Money in the Bank match at WrestleMania, and I'm thinking that's probably the match that he's going to be in, and that's the match I can see him winning.
Is that not a step back for Dolph?
Money in the Bank?
Yeah, because he's there already. He's been at the cusp of main event. He's had title shots already. Well, why do you put him in a match for a title shot when he's already he just had one?
I know, I totally agree with you there. I don't know why they're holding him in undercard status, but you know, I think Money in the Bank would be just would be good for him.
If Ziggler doesn't win the title at the Elimination Chamber, does the possibility exist that he'll be crossing over to face a SmackDown star at WrestleMania?
That's a good question.
Like, I at this point, unless it's The Miz, I can't see who Ziggler is going to be facing.
I could see them pushing Kofi Kingston and maybe doing Kofi versus Dolph.
Oh, please don't. put Kofi in the Money in the Bank. That's a good fit for him because he doesn't get a lot of title shots.
And you know that's where he's going to be. If they have a Money in the Bank match at WrestleMania, like I'm hearing they're going to.
Then
definitely that's where Kofi Kingston is going to be.
Because he's good for those high spots. Yeah. And he's also someone who hasn't had a lot of title shots. So Money in the Bank means something to him. I just feel like if you put Dolph Ziggler in the Money in the Bank, he just had a title shot at the Royal Rumble. And then, you know,
He had two title shots in the Royal Rumble. He has a title shot at the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, and you're just going to, like, he's past the Money in the Bank. He's at the verge of becoming champion. The Money in the Bank is supposed to accelerate potential new stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ziggler's not that. He's already there. At least I think he is.
No, I agree with you there.
So I think it's a bit of a step backwards for him. But at the same time, I don't know I can't even picture who he's going to be facing at this point.
Well, if there is a Money in the Bank match at WrestleMania and he's in it, I really can't see anybody else winning it. And then if he wins the Money in the Bank briefcase, then, you know, that's almost a guaranteed title right there.
Okay, well, what about, you know, I had mentioned that Ziggler could possibly be facing The Miz at WrestleMania. It's just a thought I had off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't know. That's two heels, man.
Okay, so who would The Miz possibly be facing at WrestleMania?
R-Truth? I don't know.
We've already seen that.
I don't know. Who would The Miz face? That is a good question.
I mean, it can't be R-Truth again. That's
Alex Riley.
A-Rod coming back.
A-Rod makes his big return.
I don't know. There's a lot of question marks at this there point. Is. I know that Miz is probably under a lot of heat right now for what happened on Monday with him and R-Truth.
Holy smokes.
So you never know. Maybe you don't even see Miz anywhere. Maybe Miz is in Money in the Bank. One year he's defeating John Cena, and the next
see a complete reversal. Maybe Miz goes from main event WrestleMania one year to dark match the next. Who knows?
Well, I've already said that The Miz has probably one of the greatest downfalls in less than a year than any other wrestler. I mean, literally, Miz went from being on top of the world, defeating John Cena at WrestleMania.
The only other person I could see dropping quicker than The Miz would be Jack Swagger. Remember when we went to WrestleMania?
Yeah.
And then he won the title, and it's just like, and he had the title for a month, and then it was just like
over. Geez. Which is so weird to me.
He dropped like a hot potato. It was crazy.
I mean, you could possibly see Miz taking on Wade Barrett, but that would be a SmackDown Raw crossover.
And again, two heels.
Yeah. I know. It's weird. I don't know where they're going right now.
Yeah, you know, there is a lot of question marks for some of the mid-card guys going into WrestleMania.
One thing I wanted to ask you before, I wanted to take a step back with The Undertaker and Triple H was, you know, they've announced that Shawn Michaels is going to be on Raw this Monday.
That should be interesting.
How do you feel about Michaels coming into the whole Undertaker-Triple H story?
Well, I think at this point, Shawn Michaels is almost an integral part to the Undertaker-Triple H story.
Yeah.
Right? Because you had, you know, Shawn Michaels have these two amazing matches with The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And now here's his buddy, Triple H, trying to do what he could, which he kind of touched on last year. So,
Do you think that, would you like to see HBK as the special referee for this match?
No, please. I honestly do not want to see HBK involved whatsoever in the match.
No,
I don't want to see him.
Like, you know he's going to be. They're gonna utilize HBK in some capacity at WrestleMania.
You think so?
They have to have him on the show. It's like a must for Vince McMahon.
Well, they didn't have him last year's WrestleMania.
It's going to happen this year.
Think so?
Yeah. Well, no, he wasn't getting inducted in the Hall of Fame last year. So, right?
Yeah.
So that was his capacity last year. You can't have Russell. He's going to use HBK. So it's going to happen. He's going to have some sort of involvement. He's not going to come out this week on Monday and talk about Undertaker and Triple H and be like, okay, that's my 2 cents. I'll see you later, guys. It's not going to happen. There's going to be more to it than that. So I could see a special guest referee. I disagree with it, but I could see it happening. I would sincerely hope that he has no influence on the outcome of the match because that would be a very bad decision.
That would be tarnishing the greatest thing in that professional wrestling has right now.
Yeah, so I can't see them going that route, but you know, again, like it just adds a whole other element to the whole story, which is kind of interesting, but I don't know. HBK coming back to Raw.
I'm kind of excited about it. HBK is always cool to see.
I'm sure he'll be plugging his hunting show, that's for sure. Isn't that what it's all about now?
Oh, that's all these guys that come back do is they plug whatever's going on in their lives.
It's sad. You know what's sad is that we just all fall for it too. You know, it's true.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what else do you want to talk about this week?
How about Kane and Eve Torres at the end of Raw?
Eve Torres might be the worst actress.
Absolute worst. Ugh. Unbelievable. Nothing this chick does is believable. her acting, her wrestling, nothing. It's such a shame, too.
Makes me wonder, like, just how she got to, like, where she is.
I don't, man, it just goes back to the question that we've always asked, like, why does...
She's a pretty girl. I'll give her that.
No, she is. She's
very good looking.
Same with Kelly Kelly.
Yeah.
You know, she's very nice to look at, terrible to see perform.
I'm glad that they kept the Kane, Cena, Torres, Ryder angle down to a very, very, very minimum this year, or this week on Raw.
Yeah.
Weren't you?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Ugh, I'm hating this angle. This is definitely worst angle of the year so far.
Well, I think, you know what, in the beginning, I agreed with you, but now I'm coming around to saying that it isn't the worst angle of the year, because the fact that they announced that the ending to this big story will result in an ambulance match, big deal. What, you got to put the guy in the back of a truck?
You basically got to beat your opponent down to the point where you throw him into an ambulance and shut the door.
Shut the door. But here's the thing. You and I, we think that's nothing. But to a kid, they think that going into the back of an ambulance could be a devastating thing. And by announcing that match for Elimination Chamber, it just proves to me that this has been written for kids. So if you dumb yourself down and you think about it this way, has this storyline been written perfectly for kids? I'd say probably.
Do you think we could see maybe the... Well, because we know that this match at Elimination Chamber is going to be the blow-off to this feud, because it obviously has to be.
Yeah,
because
Rock's coming back.
And do you think we could see a full-on Cena heel turn at the Elimination Chamber?
No. No.
No?
No. Not because of Kane. That's not a big deal. That's not a big enough deal.
You don't think that's...
I'm going with your original theory.
You don't think that's the whole... That's going to be the whole payoff to this whole thing?
No.
Cena heel turn?
No. I think that this could set up for the future, like what you had said, if Cena turned heel at WrestleMania... But Kane is not going to be the guy to convince Cena to turn heel. No.
No?
No. This storyline is time filler. It's written for kids, and it's for kids, and it will end in a way that it's for kids with an ambulance match. You
think it's maybe planting the seeds for his heel turn?
Yeah, no, it probably is planting the seeds, but it's not going to happen at the Elimination Chamber match.
No.
I definitely don't think,
because they're kind of hinting at how he's getting a little bit more vicious, and
yeah, but you know,
he's using the steps 2 weeks ago on Kane.
But like his shirt says, he's going to rise above hate, and he will. And kids are going to believe in that when it happens. As soon as he slams the door to the ambulance with Kane inside, he's risen above it. See, I disagree with you when you say that this will be the worst storyline of the year, because you got to remember it's for kids, and if I'm a kid, I'm probably really into this whole Kane Cena storyline and Eve Torres. And, you know, as a kid, I don't even know what bad acting is. So Eve Torres is looking like a god at this point. Right?
I guess.
So
no, I can see where you're coming from.
And here's the thing. You know, they hired that new the guy to be the head of writing or head of creative, who answers to Stephanie McMahon. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But, you know, they hired that guy who also worked...
He used to work for NBC or more
than one. No, he helped build the George Lopez show. And we mentioned him last week on the show.
Oh, right, yeah.
Anyways, part of his job is to come up with different ideas for different age demographics. So that's part of his role is... I think what you're going to start seeing in the WWE, and you've kind of seen it already, but I think they're really going to hammer this home now. There's going to be different storylines written for different age groups. So Punk and Jericho is a perfect storyline for you and I. Kane and Cena is a perfect storyline for my little nephew.
So you're saying you could see in the future maybe two faces of the WWE, one for the younger audience and one for... guys like us, the older.
I just feel like you're gonna really know what's written for kids, what's written for teens, what's written for adults, and there's gonna be that distinct difference between the storylines.
Now that you mentioned that, I could see that as well. I can see John Cena being like, you know, the face for the kids, and then CM Punk being like the face of the company for guys like us.
Exactly, and you're gonna see more of that. So, I don't think that this is the worst storyline of the year. Do I think it's been terribly done? Yes. But that's also because I'm a lot older and I know, you know, I've seen it all before, right? Mm-hmm. But as a kid, I think it's okay. I think, you know, it's a perfect ending. An ambulance match, I think that's cool.
It is a very campy, almost cartoony storyline.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't it?
And if you think back to when we were kids,
holy smokes.
Our storylines were probably way more embellished than this.
Akeem, the African Dream.
Well, I was thinking like, you know, when Jake Roberts took on The Undertaker. I mean, just think of probably how over the top that was.
Or the Mega Powers explode, stuff like that.
Yeah,
right?
So I think this is fine. I don't think it is worst storyline of the year. I don't. I'm disagreeing with that notion.
Well, I'm...
Have I convinced you in any way?
No. I'm still going with it's the worst storyline of the year because it's just... It's been executed terribly. Mm-hmm. I can understand it's been maybe written for a younger audience, but it's just the execution is so god-awful that...
All right.
That's just my take.
So is there anything else you want to talk about in regards to the WWE this week? I mean, it's a quick take this week, so we don't have to get right into it all. But give our quick thoughts on what's happening in the world of wrestling this week.
Well, what do you think? What do you think we're going to see going forward with John Laurinaitis here, real quick? Do you think he's going to continue to focus on CM Punk, or is he going to kind of shift a little bit over now to Triple H?
Well, they've announced that he is staying on as interim general manager.
That was right on Tuesday, I believe it was 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific time.
So you woke up at 7 a.m.
That's right. I was
logged on
6:30. Had my coffee in hand.
This is such a cheap attempt to get people to go to the website.
It is, isn't it?
You got to have a better reason to go to the website to find out. Or then to find out if Laurinaitis is staying or going.
Yeah.
Why would I go to the website to find that out?
I know. It's like, I don't know. I don't even know what you would compare that to at this point.
I know. So if I'm not going to the website, they're going to have to come up with some better ideas than that. But again, I want to say take him off TV because I feel like if I say keep him on TV, we're going to regret it. Because even though everyone's hot into Laurinaitis right now and they're liking what he's doing, I think 6 months from now, it'll get really old. Everyone will be done with it. And then we'll be wishing that we said take him off TV months before that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I can see what you're saying.
So it's really tough for me because I like what Laurinaitis is doing right now, but I also know that I'm going to hate him being there 6 months from now. Oh, for sure I am.
I don't know. I might differ from you in that opinion, but...
I don't think that Laurinaitis is going to have any involvement with Punk and Jericho at WrestleMania. I also don't think he's going to have any involvement with Undertaker and Triple H, no.
No?
I think you'll probably see him move over to possibly doing something with The Miz and R-Truth, or you'll see him...
That could be an
idea, You'll see him be a catalyst for a storyline that's kind of a mid-card... match.
Yeah.
Something that we may not know about yet. You know, like we said, we can't even figure out what's happening with The Miz and R-Truth. We can't figure out what's happening with Ziggler. Maybe he's going to be a catalyst in one of those storylines because I don't see him having a big part in these big matches at WrestleMania.
Could you see, well, you saw that sick bump that R-Truth, speaking of R-Truth, that he took at the end of Raw there, right?
Yeah.
The slingshot somersault that Miz was supposed to catch him and
Yeah,
and he didn't. Well, do you think maybe
I think you did that to me one time when we were backyard wrestling, and I went over the top rope, and you just let me fall right to the ground. No,
I think I remember the goat doing it. But
of course, you don't remember. I remember because I couldn't walk for days. But whatever, that's fine. What were you saying? Sorry.
Oh, nothing. I was unimportant. I was saying about R-Truth. Do you think we could maybe see this whole missed spot turn into an angle and maybe John Laurinaitis gets involved there?
It'd be a good... They'd be rewriting the entire thing on the fly, obviously, because that was probably unexpected.
Do you really think they have anything concrete planned for R-Truth and Miz at this point? Doesn't seem like it to me.
No. So, yeah, I mean, it would be a good opportunity for Laurinaitis to step in and say... Yeah. But how do you really punish Miz for that? I mean, you can't... It's not like he was... What, he got out of the way. I mean, as a wrestler, isn't that what you want to do?
Maybe instead of punishing The Miz, you punish R-Truth for being reckless or something like that. I don't know.
Isn't that the idea of being a wrestler? No, I see what you're saying. I mean, yeah.
You got to figure out some way to get him involved, right? Yeah. I mean, we're just shooting fish in a barrel here at this point. So.
Yeah, I know. It's tough because where do you put Laurinaitis at
exactly,
this point?
Exactly. That's the whole
I don't
want to
see him with Undertaker and Triple H. I don't want to see him with Punk and Jericho.
I honestly think you're going to see him kind of putting the screws into the whole Undertaker-Triple H angle.
Oh god, that would just be
that's just the way I think we're going to see the shift focus from CM Punk to Triple H.
I think we're going to see the shift focus here from Laurinaitis being a prominent figure to being a mid-card match accelerator. Like you're going to see him get involved in the mid-card level here. His time has come and gone on the on the grand stage, and you're going to see him drop down a little bit. There's no other explanation. I can't see him being involved on the main program. I can't. I don't want him there.
You mean in the main events, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want him in any of the main event programs. Mid-card, fine.
Yeah, we'll have to see how they go, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I honestly think he's going to get involved with Undertaker and Triple H in some capacity.
In, like, what sort of way do you think?
Oh, I don't know. He's going to try to put the screws to Triple H in some fashion.
Huh. And maybe he's the reason why Undertaker goes 20-0?
No.
I can't see
that. I wouldn't have John Laurinaitis anywhere near the streak.
No. Well, that's what they're... Maybe at the Elimination Chamber he has some sort of influence, but then you would think that if whoever he's out to get...
Maybe Laurinaitis becomes the catalyst into Triple H accepting the match with Undertaker going into WrestleMania.
I think it's more likely to see John Laurinaitis as someone who screws up The Miz at the Elimination Chamber, or someone who unintentionally screws up R-Truth, or possibly Ziggler. Like, he unintentionally screws someone else who he's had no interaction with in the past,
and that
would bring him into their program heading into WrestleMania. Because I think you got to get him away from Punk and away from Triple H. It's been done. We've seen it. Those two have two other big programs to worry about. So get him away from those two guys altogether and put him with someone else. That's what I think will happen.
Yeah.
It's early, but I think so. And Elimination Chamber could be a good opportunity because, you know, he comes down thinking he's doing the right thing and he screws up somehow and... You know, someone gets screwed at the Elimination Chamber match, and there we go, off to the races we go.
Yeah, no, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, we'll just have to see how it goes.
Yes, Monday Night Raw next week.
That's right.
Why don't we switch gears from the world of WWE, and you wanted to talk about local wrestling.
Yeah,
just quickly this week.
Yeah, I just wanted to hit a little bit on ECCW. They had a show on February 4th. At the Russian Community Center. It was called Vendetta. I thought maybe I'd just run down the results of the card here real quick.
Go ahead.
So they were going to originally have a Falls Count Anywhere match, but it was cut short, and then they announced an Extreme Lumberjack that would take place later in the night as the main event. And then we had the Loose Cannon, Kenny Lush. He defeated Iron Mike Roselli. Ethan HD and Aaron Bolo defeated the team of Ray Brooks and Jordy Taylor. Now, this kind of made me sad, but Nick Price had to forfeit his spot in the Pac Cup due to injury. So Danny Deeds returns from
the Cup. Pac Cup, you mean?
Pac Cup is the Pacific Cup, which is their tournament that they hold annually, and they've held it annually, I think, for...
If you've never seen the Pacific Cup live, you definitely have to check it out live. It's definitely one of their best shows for actual wrestling of the year.
Oh, top-notch. Yeah. Top-notch performances by everybody.
But Nick Price, he had to give up his spot.
Yeah, due to injury, unfortunately.
So he's not going to be in the Pacific Cup this year?
Nope.
Interesting.
Kind of sucks, man.
But did they announce a return yet? Or like a replacement, I should say?
Yeah, Danny Deeds.
Hmm.
Dastardly Danny Deeds returns from retirement to take his spot, and he's going to face Scotty Mack in the first round.
Interesting.
So there's one first round match already announced.
I would love to see Danny Deeds take out Scotty Mack in the first round of the Paco.
Don't think it's going to happen, but I'd like to see it too.
I would. I just got to be honest.
Speaking of Scotty Mack, at Vendetta, he pinned Andy the Dreadful Bird. And then Artemis Spencer, he defeated the Cremator and retained his NWA Canadian title. And then Casey Spinelli won her match against Mary Jane Payne by disqualification when Scotty Mack and then Nick Price interfered, and then Tony Baroni ran in for the save. And then the Riot, consisting of Nicole Matthews, Ravenous Randy, they defeated the Bollywood Lions to retain the tag team titles. So I guess the kind of thing the Riot's doing is I guess the whole stable are the tag team champions, is kind of like what the Spirit Squad did.
I think so.
So any two members of the squad or of the stable can defend the tag titles. I think that's kind of what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I've been so out of the local wrestling scene and really wanted to have Corey Basso to fill us in because he's the guy that knows what's going on, but. We'll catch up.
And then in the main event, Cole Bishop defeated Jason Sullivan in the Extreme Lumberjack match.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned that Ravenous Randy and Nicole Matthews, they defeated the Bollywood Lions.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually going to have the Bollywood Lions on our show next week.
Beautiful.
So there you go. And they were just recently part of, well, they made their debut on Ring Ka King.
That's right. That's the Indian show
that
TNA was producing, wasn't it?
Well, it's a show that's coming out of India, and they actually were, they just, it was just announced that they had something like 14 million viewers or something for their first episode, which makes it the most watched wrestling show in history.
14 million
something
viewers?
Like that. Yeah, they had some crazy amount of like some crazy rating when it came to TV, and they had all a ton of viewers, and they have outdone anything
have you,
that WWE
have you
has
seen
done.
Any of Ring
yeah,
King?
No, I saw the Bollywood Lions.
The production value is really well done.
I know. So we're going to bring the Bollywood Lions on to talk about that next week.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had mentioned the Pacific Cup. There's two nights of action for the Pacific Cup. The first one's coming up. Is that right?
That's right. The first night for the Pacific Cup. So they're, what they're doing is they're doing back-to-back nights with this Pacific Cup tournament. And the first night of the Pacific Cup, that's going to be Friday, February 24th. And that's going to be at Bridgeview Hall, and the address is 11475 126 8th Street in Surrey. And here's some of the first-round matches for the Pacific Cup. We've got the Golden Lion, Gurv Sira, and he's going to be taking on Ravenous Randy Myers. Like I just mentioned before, Scotty Mack's going to be taking on Dastardly Danny Deeds. Then we're going to have Alex Plexus versus the Andy the Dreadful Bird. And then this is kind of interesting here, Corey. Artemis Spencer, he's going to be taking on El Fantasmo. Now, this is a tournament match, but it's also for the NWA Canadian Heavyweight Championship.
Crazy.
And so Artemis Spencer, if he continues going on through the tournament, he's going to have to continually defend his belt going all the way through.
That's an interesting...
That's kind of an interesting little stipulation,
twist,
eh?
Yeah,
so
for
every,
sure.
Every single match for him is a title match.
That's really bizarre.
So that is kind of weird.
So you could make it to the second round of the Pac Cup.
That's
get
right.
Eliminated, but still walk out the champion.
No, he would lose his title. If
he would lose... Oh, I see.
That's right. So if Artemis Spencer makes it, say, the semifinals, and he loses that semifinals match, whoever beats him, they're the new NWA Canadian
but
title.
Then that person could get to the finals, lose, and still be the champion.
No, that I don't know how that works.
It must be, because is it
that,
is,
yeah,
it's
that,
only Artemis
that only
Spencer
makes,
that would...
That, yeah.
Has to defend it, right?
That would make sense. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
Yeah, we will.
Basso, where are you? And is there any other matches for the night one of the Pacific Cup?
There's the main event, which is a non-tournament match. It's for the ECCW Championship, and it's a triple threat match. This is going to have Jason Sullivan taking on Sid Sylum and the champion, Pete Powers.
Now, if you want to check out the first night of the Pacific Cup and you need tickets or you just want to read up on it a bit more, www.eccw.com. And don't forget, there's also a second night to the Pacific Cup, and that's when the semifinals and finals happen.
That's right, and that's the very next night, Saturday, February 25th, and that's at the Russian Community Center, which is at 2114 West 4th Avenue in Vancouver.
So they're going from Surrey Bridgeview Hall to the Russian Community Center in Vancouver for night two.
That's right.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's going to be it's back-to-back tournaments this time, and like you just mentioned, that second night's going to feature all the semifinal matches and the final match to determine who's the Pacific Cup champion for 2012.
And this is the 12th annual Pacific Cup.
Oh, it's the 12th annual. I thought it was the 10th.
No, 12th. Quite a big history,
mm-hmm.
actually. I mean, I've always enjoyed the Pacific Cup.
Last year's Pacific Cup champion, Rick the Weapon X, nowhere to be seen.
And I know that they have a deal on two nights. If you buy tickets for both nights, as opposed to just one or the second night, they have a deal on, you know, a special price for tickets. So, you know, you got to contact them about that, but it's definitely worth checking.
Yeah, that's right. You can, if you're interested in tickets, you can always check out their website at www.eccw.com. Now, if you want tickets and you want to get them for both nights, front row tickets are $35 and then general seating is $30. But if you're just going to buy the tickets individually or you're only going to go to one show, you can't see the other one, tickets for front row are $20. General admission is $18. Keep in mind, the doors open at 7:30 p.m. and the bell time's at 8 o'clock.
There you go. A bit of WWE, bit of local wrestling. All we're missing is a top five, and we pretty much got a whole episode here.
No, it's not bad, actually. A little bit more of a quick than... A little bit less quick.
Well, it's funny. We call it Quick Take. We're calling the show Quick Take, but really, we're not far off from our normal timing.
No, not really.
It all comes down to production value, I think.
Essentially, yeah.
Tonight, literally, you and I raced home from work. I sat in front of the microphone. You sat down in front of that microphone.
Typed away for about 20 minutes and then bang, here we
go. I didn't even spend that long. I was just, let's do this. I don't know. So, Smack Talk's Quick Take. It's our first debut episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to probably be a few more. We're pretty much going to do these Quick Take episodes on nights that, or on weeks that we just can't pull off a full show.
Yeah, when your career is getting in the way.
We're going with the thinking that anything is better than nothing.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you you and I have missed weeks before in the past, and I feel like I don't even know where to start because you want to talk about things that happened 2 weeks ago. Because,
yeah, you really get out of that rhythm, right? When you don't do a show every week, you just get out of that rhythm. And actually, it becomes really hard to get back in and get the ball rolling again.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. So, I'm just checking my schedule here, my busy work schedule.
So next week, what I'm going to do is I'm going to check out this WWE YouTube channel. I'm going to check out all the shows. And next week on Tale of the Tape, we'll talk a little bit about those YouTube shows. And we'll, of course, cover the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view card going into the pay-per-view, which is a week from this Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I just realized that I have to work Monday night upcoming.
So no SRL on a Monday night.
Maybe we'll do SRL on a Tuesday morning.
I'm working, buddy.
Oh. Come on, James. Get your priorities straight.
Yeah, I'll just call in work. Sorry, I got to do the show.
See, I'm allowed to miss the show for work, but you're not.
Oh, wow. It's like that, is it?
We'll find some time. We'll definitely get a show up. But for sure, 100%, next Thursday, we will have Smack Talk Radio Live.
And we'll have a full episode, top five, post to post, everything, get
and
you
we
caught
will,
up.
And we will have Harv Sira of the Bollywood Lions speaking to us.
I'm really looking forward to that. I really want to hear about this Rinka King experience.
Mm-hmm. It's, I think it, they went over to India and...
14 million viewers, that blows my mind.
Something like that. 14 is ringing a bell, but it's a lot.
Still, over 10 million. That,
yeah, I could be wrong. I could be wrong on the number, but I believe it's 14 million.
Still blows my mind, man.
Mm-hmm. All right. Smack Talks. Quick take.
I'm James McDonald.
I'm going to give the address before I get out of here. www.smacktalkradiolive.com or facebook.com/smacktalkradio. Who are you again?
I'm James McDonald.
I'm Corey Callahan. This is a Thursday evening quick take. We'll see you later.